Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good morning, everyone. Bob Pompiani here on a Saturday. A colder Saturday than what we saw the last couple of days in the 70s, and it went down into the high 20s last night. Going to get back up to the 40s. We have the weather coming up a little bit later. That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about sports. I'm happy to be here, and hopefully this serves as some sort of a distraction for you. Matt Harkins is behind the glass. Matty Ice will take your calls at 412-928-9370. You can also text me at KDPomp. And as Paul Alexander was talking about, we have a lot of Steeler news certainly to get into, and that's one thing that has not yet been affected by this. Largely, the NFL season goes on and will go on. It's an off season, but it's really a season all year round with them. And this is an opportunity to make deals and get headlines exclusively because nothing else is going on right now. And this is a shame because it's the time we would have had week one of March Madness, and I think there would have been some really intriguing matchups considering not many teams. And not many, giant teams that you could look at and say, oh man, that team's going to win it all. They're just so loaded. This was the one year where San Diego State, I thought, this was the one year where Dayton had a legitimate chance, but they're never going to get that chance. I want to remind you, you can follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. You can shop all three locations at ShorkeyKia.com. And you can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. It's 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Our show is brought to you by a lot of good companies that I want to thank very much because they've been with me largely since I started here about 7 years ago on the radio side of things. Allegheny Health Network, Health for All, and we should all thank the men and women who are providing health care at this time because they are doing so with a risk that was never there before. But yet they go to work every day and they try to help everyone out. So congrats to everyone in the health care field. PNC Bank, make today the day at PNC. They're also driven by number one Cochran, go one better. Shenderovich and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. And Ireland Contracting, visit IrelandContracting.com, the title sponsor of the Nightly Sports Call, which we still do on KDK-TV every night of the week at 10:35. So give us a call there when you have an opportunity. So I want to get into just a little bit of what we're talking about here with the Steelers. Eric Ebron was a player who had a bad year last year. He also was accused of being a diva, not getting the ball, not happy. Well, I think that largely affects a lot of wide receivers / people who catch the ball. If they don't get it, they're not happy. That's just the way it is, it seems. But I prefer to look at him in his days with the Indianapolis Colts, and specifically Andrew Luck. Because he had some really outstanding seasons there. One of them was a 66 catch, 750-yard, 13 touchdown year. You think about that, 13 touchdowns. And I think the Steelers have consciously gone about adding pieces that will help their red zone, which was largely one of the worst across the board in every measurable. In the red zone, they produced the least amount of yards. In red zone, least amount of points in the red zone. They just did not score enough. And that's one of the reasons why another guy like Ebron, who's big and he's a target that Ben Roethlisberger will love, will help. That's one of the reasons why they also went out and got Derek Watt, I think. you know, red zone is going to really get a lot of focus from them, and I think it has. I know that Derek Watt is TJ's brother. I know that there's probably a good reason why the Steelers wanted to bring him in that could help them in signing TJ Watt. It doesn't hurt to bring a brother in when you're about to pay the other brother big money. But I also think Derek Watt is a guy who can help. Rosie Nix was injured a lot last year, and I still think they're going to want to use. Matt Canada likes, you know, tight ends, and he likes running backs. I think in the red zone, that was with, you know, besides Roethlisberger, which was the number one reason why they were struggling there. They didn't have enough weapons making plays, but their quarterback couldn't find them, as much as Roethlisberger likely would have. So I think they're loading up there. If they could change that dynamic on offense, boy, it's going to change a lot of what you see on their offense. That, coupled with their defense, makes it look like they're going to be a legitimate team. What that means at this point, I don't know. You know, I think they would compete with all the teams in their division to win the division. I think if you look at it, adding a guy like Chris Wormley on a trade is a guy who can help them on their defensive line after losing Hargrave. They could not afford Hargrave, and he earns the opportunity to go to the Eagles or anywhere he could have gotten that kind of money, $39 million. So I think that's all good. I think the Steelers still need to do some things. You know, a lot of people want to talk about Jordan Berry, and I see some tweets here already on that, and I get that. He had a bad year. You can probably get someone else. Although, if you think about it, a lot of teams that have kickers have had bad years with their kickers, and a lot of those kickers have rebounded. You don't have to look any further than Chris Boswell of the Pittsburgh Steelers after it looked like he might be cut at one point, and then he not only comes back, earns his money again, and now gets a huge bonus to start last season. So kickers' lives are very interesting and very different. That doesn't mean Jordan Berry is not in jeopardy of being replaced. All that means is don't be surprised if he comes back better than he was last year, and that would be a good thing. And because I believe that part of the game is important still, even though people want to downplay it all the time. So we talk about that. I'd like to get your calls on that, 412-928-9370. Are you excited about what the Steelers have done? Because quite frankly, I didn't think they were going to be able to do this much. They also got Stefan Wisniewski, a really outstanding guy who's been around since 2011. He's started games for last year's championship team. He did that with another team. So he has two Super Bowl rings with the Eagles and the Chiefs. And it's a guy who gives you veteran presence, and they needed it after Finney went out to Seattle. So would you have liked Finney? I would have. I would have preferred to have Finney just because I think he was younger up in it. But I think Wisniewski brings a bunch of talent and a bunch of experience to a line that needs it. Now, the downside of that is all these guys are up in the 30s. They're just approaching that age. And you wonder how much of this draft will be devoted to, you know, trying to get younger on the offensive line or doing other things to try to compensate for some of the age there. As it is right now, they're going to need some of their draft picks to really step up and do a better job than what they've done in terms of, and it takes time for offensive linemen. I get that. Offensive line is not a position you're going to jump right into, and even some of the guys who've been drafted in the first round, for example, haven't had that opportunity to sometimes jump right in and play immediately. It takes time. But they are getting up there in age. This is designed to win over the next 2 years. That's what this is all about. And if the Steelers can pull that off, that would be great. They're not looking necessarily for 2023. It's 2021. These 2 years when Ben Roethlisberger is back. Now, of course, the big news yesterday was Tom Brady officially on Instagram showed you he signed his contract. Now, I find that contract rather interesting. Because not only is it for big money, which you would expect, with some bonuses, it'll be right around 2 years, $60 million. But it also includes you can't trade him, you can't do anything like that. But it had a clause in it which was really interesting. And the clause was that he cannot be franchised or transition tagged after the completion of the contract. Now think about that. Why would Tom Brady want that in his contract? You cannot be transition tagged or franchise tag after 2 years. After 2 years, he's going to be in his 45-year range, right? To me, that tells you that he wants to keep playing. How else can you look at that? Tom Brady gets a clause that he doesn't need. You know, he's 42, 40, what is he, 43? He's 43. He plays 2 years in Tampa, and then he insists on having a clause that says you cannot transition tag me after this contract. Oh, I wouldn't even thought that was part of it. But that is interesting how it ramped up. Also, some deals that we should talk about. Emmanuel Sanders goes to New Orleans, and watch out for the. I'll tell you what, Tampa Bay, New Orleans is going to be an interesting dynamic. Melvin Gordon goes to Denver, and Todd Gurley on a one-year deal to Atlanta. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to the phone lines right now, and we start with Nick, who joins us on the cell. Hello, Nick. How are you today? How are you hanging?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, Bob?
I'm good. Thank you.
I just wanted to talk some recent additions and subtractions the Steelers have made, and sure. Just wanted to see your opinions on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind signing Derek Watt for the usability to replace Rosie Nix. I'm just not sure about the money we spent on that. And I also like the Ebron addition. I'm just worried, you know, we just had two of some of the biggest divas in the NFL. You know, I'm just hoping that shows him that the Steelers aren't afraid to play hardball with people of that nature, but I just hope it's a non-issue. I do think he's very talented, and we definitely need a big target and a big tight end.
Yeah, Nick, I agree with that. I think they do. And, you know, he's had injuries. Okay, fine. They all do. Everyone who plays in this game long enough is going to have some injuries. I think they're moving forward thinking that what happens if, you know, they stay out of an injury situation. Vance McDonald was a guy who played actually 13 games. But if you listen to most people, it makes it sound like he was out for all of it. Now, he was injured. He's been injured. But, again, when you play this game the way this game is played, man, you're going to suffer some of those. So I think they're stocking up on red zone. To me, Nick, this is all about red zone. Red zone, and they had to come up with someone to do special teams once they lost Tyler Matakevich, and so Derek Watt's very good at that as well. So I think it's red zone, special teams, a distant second, red zone all the time with me. They were last in all the categories that you can look at. They can't afford to do that if they're going to win a championship.
No, I 100% agree, and especially the fact that we were last in scoring offense last year. I think we averaged one touchdown a game, if I'm correct on that.
I don't know. Scoring offense, I don't know where.
Offensive touchdown.
Yeah, okay. Whatever it was, it wasn't good. All right, Nick, thanks. Appreciate the call. Back to the top of the board. We got Josh, who joins us right now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hello, Josh. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm right. Good. Thanks.
I just want to talk about, like, everyone's hating the Derek Watt signing, but I kind of see him as a third tight end. We have two bigger tight ends, Vance and Eric Ebron. They're basically the same statues. Ebron's a little bigger. Both injury concerns, both drop concerns. But I feel like Derek Watt could be a solid third tight end. He has a main catch in career, but I feel like he's very athletic and all that.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's I look at his role, and I realize he's not going to carry the ball a lot. I think he's only touched it like five times in the last 3 years as a runner. He is decent out of the backfield. He can give you that option. But I think more than anything else, he's number one. He's a guy in a signing that'll make T.J. Watt happy, you would think. Number two, and I don't find any fault with that. I think, you know, that's going to be the biggest contract they ever have to deal with. So you got to try to take care of those kind of guys. But I also think I think you're, you know, if you don't watch him a lot, and most people didn't, I saw him only in the games the Steelers played the Chargers, and he was nearly invisible. He never did much in those games because he wasn't called upon. But I think in the red zone, that's where you're going to see him a lot, and I think they will use play action more there. That's just my take. I know Ben Roethlisberger likes shotgun, and you're not going to see this on the middle of the field. But when you get closer to the goal line, you're going to see more of that kind of stuff. And if it helps in producing five more touchdowns based on a couple of lead blocks he can provide, I think that's worth the money.
For sure. I mean, I'm not really mad about the money they paid him either because they're going to save it for a TGA too anyways.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, all right, Josh, thank you. I appreciate it. 412-928-9370, that is the number to call. And we'll be on the air to 1 o'clock here today. So if you want to just talk about some of the events that happened this week, even though it was mostly NFL stuff, but we could take a look back in time at some of the best NCAA March Madness finishes if you'd like, because I think we would have had a lot of them this time. I really do. But we're not going to get that opportunity. And a lot of teams like Dayton, like San Diego State, who could have had a legitimate opportunity to win a national championship, are going to have that thing go away. Welcome back, everyone, as we continue live right here in the studios of 93.7 The Fan, which are fairly isolated. I mean, we're all by ourselves in different rooms here, which is good. And I think that's where you have to progress with life, period, at this point, and just get used to it. And if you do, I think you'll have hopefully relatively good success in staying away from this virus. And on that note, I want to thank our sponsors once again who have stuck with us through all of this over the last several years. And that includes Allegheny Health Network, doing great work on the front lines. AHN, PNC Bank, make today the day. Number one, Cochran, go one better. And Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, they've got your back, not your wallet. 412-928-9370. You can hit me up on texting. I'm sorry, on Twitter, at KD Pump. I don't want to start with texting. Let's go out to Jim in Greentree, who's our first caller of segment number two of the program. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Hey, Bob. Great to talk with you, and best of luck to you and your family.
Thank you. You too.
I know you're a golf fan, as am I, and as are a lot of people, and I have a rather novel idea that I wanted to run by you and see what your thoughts were at this very difficult time. If you'll remember a couple of Thanksgivings ago, there was a great made-for-TV match between Tiger and Phil. My idea would be to invite four of the world's top golfers, and you can go down the list till you get four that accept. Most of them have private planes. Invite them to come to a safe course, maybe Pebble Beach, whatever, and have a made-for-TV, no-spectator event. I think, you know, with no sporting competition on TV, it would draw millions and millions worldwide eyeballs. I think sponsors would pony up huge dollars, and it would be a winner-take-all event. Except that the winner would get 50% and the other 50% would go to medical frontline people or Doctors Without Borders or something to that effect. And I sent an email to the PGA about this and I got a perfunctory thank you. I'll pass it on, but I just wanted to run it by you.
Yeah, you know, the only thing is, and we can all use distractions. I think there's no question about that, Jim. And there is a way to do it, I suppose. When this whole thing started, I thought golf would be the one place where it would not necessarily end for television purposes. Yes, no crowds. You can't have people on a golf course. I get all that. But because it's outdoors and because you can really social distance yourself quite a bit from people on the golf course as players, you don't have to get near anyone. You can bring wipes out to wipe the club, whatever the case may be. But I thought that was probably going to be the only sport that might be able to survive any, you know, restrictions. But they made the determination not to do that. They won't put anyone in jeopardy. So, yeah, I like your idea, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think what we can all hope that happens is this. You just pay attention to what you're supposed to. It doesn't take that much. People need to understand what's at stake here. The longer you don't do it, and this comes down to everyone in our society, person by person, you have to make this choice. Stay away from other people, 6 feet, you know, make sure you don't touch different things that, and if you do, wipe your hands, wash your hands. It's simple stuff. And, you know, we've taken it for granted for all these years. And I can just imagine in the future years, once this gets taken care of, perhaps we'll all have fewer flu deaths. Just because I think if you keep these habits into your life, maybe not to the degree we're doing, but if you keep them alive and well, then, that should serve you well and people around you. But it's simple. Stay away from crowds. If you want to talk to someone, fine. Just do it at a distance. Don't, you know, because this stuff, you know, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but I read a lot about it. Now I'm concerned just because I think everyone's concerned. I probably take my level of concern a little higher, just because I'm that kind of person. I worry a lot, and I shouldn't, but I do. And I think you have to just make sure you're smart about it. That's as simple as it can be. And if it means staying home when you're used to going out, well, make a makeshift happy hour in the backyard, separated by distance. You can do that. You got to be creative. If you want to do something, I told my wife Lisa we have to make some projects. Because I know that she thinks, first of all, I'm not good sitting around at home. She knows that. I have to be put to work or do something. Not that I'm good at work around the house. I do basic stuff, but I think it's better for me to just do that kind of stuff. So together we can do stuff that we've had on our list for a while and we've never gotten around to it. So hopefully that'll be something we can. You know, she's good. She knows how to do all that. She's actually the person who does all the work in our house. I don't know. I'm almost embarrassed to admit that, but I've never been good at that kind of stuff. All right, let's go back out to the lines. We got Dave who joins us on line number five. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Bob. Hey, thanks for taking her mind off this corona because it is just crazy around here. But, hey, how about this year, Latrobe backs on backers, Watt against Watt? Who's your money on?
Well, that's a good call. I wish we could shoot that. The Steelers have shut down our camera. No one's allowed to shoot that kind of stuff. But that's always one of the most lively sessions. I would go with T.J. Watt. just because I think he's, you know, he's faced a lot more, and he's had more reps by far than his brother. So I think that experience will serve him well. But I think that would be fun to see. And I'm sure Mike Conley's going to do it, too.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's got to be the first out of the gate this year. That's going to be pretty fun. Maybe we can sneak somebody in there with a Twitter or Facebook feed.
We get in trouble if we do that. We're not allowed to do that. But somebody in the crowd will do it, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's going to be some high entertainment.
Yeah, very much. Do you like the signing of Derek Watt?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think definitely in the run game last year, it was definitely down. And, I'm a fullback kind of guy. So I definitely think with the loss of Roosevelt Nix, he was out for so many games last year, that it does have open an opportunity for a healthy James Conner and Benny Snell. So, yeah, it's a good pickup. I do think so.
Yeah, I do too. And as far as the $3 million a year, I think that's just the going rate. So I'm not so sure I'm worried about how much money they're spending that way. They needed that piece just because Rosie wasn't going to be back. And I think he had a nice career too. 6 years, he did a lot of good things for the Steelers after being undrafted. He should have a lot to be proud of, no doubt. All right, Sam joins us on the cell right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Sam, what's going on?
Not much. I just wanted to make a comment. I hope you don't mind.
No, sure, go ahead.
Okay, I'm looking at the Steelers. I'm thinking of the Steelers' free agent signings in the recent past. Ladarius Green, Moncrief, Nelson, Baron, the guys they signed last year. Nobody has been a virtual success. This guy, Ebron.
I think Steven Nelson has been successful. I think he really did hammer down the number two corner spot.
All right, we got one out of six. Ebron, when he come out of college, was supposed to be this. He was a number one round, first round draft pick. He was a flop in Detroit. He was a troublemaker in Indianapolis. And in my opinion, he's going to be the same thing here. He's going to take the money. He'll play a half a season, and then he's done. That's my comment on this guy.
All right. Well, who knows? You might be right. They needed somebody to do it. They needed someone who has production on his resume. And he has the production on his resume. Sometimes a change of scenery and being around a lot of teams, members who are veteran players, can help a guy. He's not going to be a focal point. I think he has to know that. And I think they probably talked to him about that. He's going to be someone they utilize and he needed a job. I think it's worth, to me, it's low risk. It's really low risk. If he doesn't pan out, he doesn't pan out. A lot of guys don't pan out. That's the way of the world in the NFL or sports in general. So I'm not necessarily in a position here to say that it's going to fail. I think it's going to succeed because of coming here, dealing with a group that is largely veteran-oriented. I think Detroit, if you looked at their team last year, they had issues because they had a lot of guys coming in and out. No system. Matt Patricia's not done as good a job as I think they thought he would do. And I just think he got frustrated there. He's a diva. All pass-catching people are divas. They don't want to not get the ball. It's wide receivers, it's tight ends, everybody. But you got to understand for the greater good of this team, and I think he's at a point of his career that he wants to maybe look at a chance to compete and win a championship. We'll see. Like I said, I'm all for it. I think it's low risk. We're assessing some of these quarterback moves that have happened so far, and just let me reset them for you if I can, because I think it's important to notice. Tom Brady, okay, gets his 2 years with incentives, maybe $60 million. Drew Brees gets 2 years, $50 million, same thing. Drew Brees coming back to that offense, and you add Emmanuel Sanders, going to be pretty good. Teddy Bridgewater, all right, he goes to Carolina. Pretty big contract, and you knew he was going to get it after going 5-0 with the Saints last year in place of Brees. 3 years, $63 million. The interesting one is Dak Prescott, who got franchised 1 year, about $27 million or so. Now, he wants a large sum of money. And I don't know, even if Jerry Jones, who likes to make those guys happy down there, if he's willing to go the kind of money that's necessary to keep him. The franchise tag's a good way to go. If you don't know, and it buys you time. That's what it's going to do. It buys them time. Phillip Rivers, 1 year with Indianapolis. He's back with a coaching staff he likes that he had in San Diego once, and I think that's very important for him, and I think you could see some good things there. I was a little surprised Tennessee went 4 years, $118 million on Ryan Tannehill. That one shocked me, just because I don't think Ryan Tannehill is the kind of guy that is going to be what you saw in the regular season consistently last year. What you saw in the postseason would be rather what you're going to see from Ryan Tannehill. But they made a decision. They liked him. and they were going to go in that way. And if to do it, that's the kind of money it takes. So there's one name out there that I haven't mentioned, Matt Harkins. Do you know who that name is? And the quarterback. Free agency. One name. It's a name that's popping up around here a lot.
Yeah, Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston. Still nothing for Jameis Winston, which is fueling a lot of the speculation that he will end up in Pittsburgh. But again, I didn't think they had enough money to do an Ebron deal. I didn't think they have enough money to do a Jameis Winston deal unless he gets absolutely no other option and has nowhere to go. And if that presents itself to the Steelers, I do believe they could make that happen. And, you know, again, it's a more depth issue than anything else. I still like Mason Rudolph. I think he can develop. I think people forget that development is part of all sports. You can't just put people in and expect results all the time. You can't. Everyone wants that, but it just doesn't happen. So, therefore, I think it takes time. And I think you have to give guys like that time. If you do, you might be surprised. You know, the Steelers show a good patience with that, more so than most NFL teams. They're willing to wait on undrafted guys. They make sure they get better each and every year. They do the kinds of things that I think will ultimately help your bottom line because they don't cost a lot. But hopefully the development in year three for Mason Rudolph will be substantial if he gets an opportunity. Maybe he won't get that opportunity, but he's there as an insurance policy for now. I think Jameis Winston would be a better short-term insurance policy. He has the same problems that a lot of guys have that Roethlisberger had in his last season with too many interceptions, although Winston threw most of his in the first 7 minutes of a game, and his team was always behind the eight ball, and that's not good. 30 interceptions, way too many. 35 touchdowns, that's nice. But one of the reasons why I think his yards were up is because he was behind a lot. He had to throw the ball a lot, so you're going to get those kinds of yards. All right, we're back with more here. Bob Pompiani, along with Matt Harkins in studio, taking your calls at 412-928-9370. We're talking a lot about Steeler football at this point. Also want to remind you that our show is brought to you by the good people of Allegheny Health Network. Health for all. PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one Cochran. Go one better. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. And Ireland Contracting. Visit IrelandContracting.com. They are the title sponsor of the nightly sports call we do every night at 10:35 on Pittsburgh CW and will continue to do despite no sports. So we'll get creative with that as we go along. But in the meantime, there's a lot of NFL news. This was also going to be the time where, you know, you talk about basketball a lot with March Madness. This week, in case you missed it, Trey McGowan's said he is leaving Pitt. He's had an awful lot of interest from some big-time schools, too. So you wonder, you know, where he's going to end up. One of the schools interested is TCU, Jamie Dixon's team. This all according to his father. He has Ole Miss, Arkansas, Illinois, Nebraska, South Carolina, Seton Hall, Iowa State, UConn. You know, Trey McGowan's, for whatever reason, just his numbers did not grow the way you wanted them to grow in year number two. And so I don't know what the dynamic was in the locker room. I don't know. You know, he and Xavier Johnson kind of performed the same duty, too. Maybe there was some confusion about who would run the offense, about who would, you know, take shots in critical times. Through it all, Brandon Champagne turned out, or Justin Champagne, I keep calling him Brandon, Justin Champagne was outstanding in what he did, and he took a major step forward. I was expecting that from McGowan's and Johnson, quite frankly. So now he's going to be gone. That's two transfers along with Ryan Murphy. They have some guys coming in, but it's kind of disappointing. I had high hopes for Trey McGowan's, really did. But there were some great games over the years. You know, this is a time where you have to remember some of those games. And think about some of the moments you've seen from March Madness. And there will be no one shining moment this year, but boy, there could have been some great ones because of the competitive balance that would have been in the NCAA tournament. The Blue Bloods, and maybe Kansas was the only one that you could say was going to be that team that would be very difficult to beat. But even they are beatable. No one's going to get that chance and have one shining moment. There have been some great ones over the years, too. I was thinking back to watching that tournament. I've always loved basketball at every level. But, you know, some of the ones I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, when Butler and Duke met. And it was Gordon Hayward, before he became, you know, the outstanding NBA player with the Utah Jazz and the Boston Celtics. And he came down and had a chance to beat Duke at the buzzer. Threw up a three that was inside of half court. I mean, it was going to be a tough shot to make. But he just missed, and they lost 61-59. So that was one of those that comes to mind. Another, of course, it's when you talk about buzzer beaters, you can't think of anything but the Jim Valvano game with NC State and Houston back in, my goodness, early 80s. And that was one of the lower-scoring championship games that you have. And so 54-52. And then there was the one that happened not too long ago in 20, I'm tempted to say 15 or 16. And that would be the one with North Carolina and Villanova. And Chris Jenkins got the game winner. That's one of those Archie Diacono games. And Villanova ended up winning a national championship. That was, and there have been so many other ones too. Christian Leitner, you can go on and on. Michael Jordan way back in the day. We're going to miss that stuff though. Right now, we're talking Jameis Winston and whether or not you want to see him in a Steeler uniform. Like a lot of people seem to think, money becomes a factor. Let's go to Mike, who joins us on the cell. Hello, Mike. How are you today?
Thanks, Bob. Just came from the city. Boy, I never realized how much I miss our sports here. This is something, but we're going to get through it. But what I wanted to say as far as Jameis and Winston, I think we find out as an organization how important it is to have a backup quarterback, a good backup quarterback. I think I'm all for it if we can fit it into our budget. But I must say a shout-out to the Steeler front office because we started the free agency over the cap, and it's amazing how the Steelers re-signed people. We've actually signed a couple good ball players. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Steelers are able to pull it off, and I'm sure he'd love to be in a black and gold uniform. Have a great weekend, Bob. Be safe, and thanks as always.
All right, thank you, Mike. Well, it still comes down to money. Money and the opportunity he can't control. He may never get a chance to play here. But he could keep his name warm by being on a roster for a year and see what happens after that. But he's not going to be, if Roethlisberger is healthy, which by if you read Ron Cook's column, and you should have in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he had a great discussion with Roethlisberger about a lot of things. And he feels like he's as healthy throwing the ball as he's been in several years. So that's the number one thing. If he could be healthy for this year and next, there's really no room for Jameis Winston other than a backup if he wants to get that sort of role. I don't know that there are any starting jobs left. I went down the list for you moments ago. Who else needs a quarterback to the point where they're going to be willing to pay the kind of money, you know, that he would require if he's going to fill that requirement? So I don't think that's going to happen. I do think there's potentially a space here if he's willing to take a lot of less money just to keep it in the game. And I look at the, you know, and this was an injury, so it wasn't the same necessarily, but DeMarcus Cousins, when he was, you know, with the Pelicans, and then he, you know, signs a one-year deal after an injury to an ACL, or maybe it was Achilles, I can't remember, but he ends up just keeping his name warm, and they knew they had to rehab him all year, $5 million, one-year deal with Golden State. Same sort of thing with the Lakers, but it's not responding. But the point is, you just keep yourself in the game, keep yourself with a possibility of playing, showing someone you can play. And with quarterbacks, I think we've seen this all the time, where guys get in there and look at Teddy Bridgewater. Played 5 games, you know, won them all, but it wasn't necessarily all him. But he proved that, all right, he's back from his injury that he suffered in Minnesota. He's ready to go, and he got a nice job in Carolina. Cam Newton's another one whose name's out there now, and not sure what the future is for him. But they pretty much said, hey, look for a trade partner. So they're not going to bring him back given the money he's supposed to make. So who would trade at this point for Cam Newton, and what would you get? There's still a lot of time left for all of this to play out. But I think it's rather interesting that you know, you're in this situation with these guys. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. I'm going to make another mention, getting back to March Madness, of you know, in the women's game. And I really was interested in this just because we saw Arika Ogunbowale do something at Notre Dame that, no, I don't think anyone has ever done in college basketball, men or women. In 2018, and I really like this story because her brother played for Tampa last year, and there was a preseason game where we did Tampa Bay with the Steelers, and I was talking a lot about her when we talked about her brother. But she hit a game-winning buzzer-beater three, a three-point shot that beat UConn in a semifinal game. So after that was the finals, And same situation happened. At the end of the game, they work it over to her. They're down two. She hits a three as buzzer. So back-to-back buzzer-beating threes in a national semifinal and then a national final as Notre Dame was a championship. I don't think you're going to find a better situation than that in any level, regardless of what we're talking about here. So we're going to miss that stuff. There's no doubt. At some point, you'd like to have something play somewhere just for a distraction. You know, ideally, if all of this could have been done with no fans and just something for television, so those of us who cannot, you know, go, and I don't think they would have even allowed probably reporters in. I don't know what they would have done. But you want to stay away from large groups of people, but maybe they could have done it. It would have been ideally better because at least you could look forward to events coming off. You're going to be, you know, staying home and not engaging in many things. I think that's important to do as well. So, bottom line is, you got to make the most of your time. I suggest walking, getting out. You know, I said a community social hour from a distance, if you want to do that. Once a week, twice a week, get people together. You know, have a beer, whatever, talk about whatever you want to talk about or vent. I think that would be a good thing. So, there are things you can do. Household chores, stuff you've never gotten to because you're too busy. Well, you can get to them now. You can do little things. I think in the end, hopefully, if we play this right as a community, as a country, that people will understand little things much bigger than most things. The little things, you know, when you have more time to spend, it engages in more conversation, hopefully. It's more of just person-to-person talking as opposed to texting, as opposed to everything electronic media-ing. And I think that's a good lesson to learn. Especially for younger people who live and die on those things. I do it a lot, too. Trust me, I'm a Twitter-aholic, I guess. But I also know that if you have an opportunity to re-engage with your family, with your friends, on a personal level, from a distance, I'm going to keep saying from a distance, I think it would be a good lesson to learn. The other thing we'll learn is that you have to be more hygienically helpful to people and yourself. Maybe not, again, to the degree that we're spraying everything down, but at least you'll know how important it is to stay away from germs by washing your hands. You don't necessarily, and I'm a hugger. You know, I like to go up to people and give them a hug. I'm not doing that, and I'm not going to probably do that moving forward just because it's, you know, it doesn't make sense now. We'll see. There's a lot of time left. We have a lot of things to talk about. So.